Well, I just want to kind of introduce myself. I've been coming for about 2 months here. I'm originally a Sand Mountain boy, born and raised. My mom's here. We lost my daddy last year. And I got to see my daddy get saved at 47 years old. I got saved, and one time my daddy told me, he said, the reason I got saved was because of the difference in you. Standing out drinking and partying, and my daddy wasn't a real, he was, when we done something wrong, we got a spanking every once in a while, but he'd get you in a truck and ride you around, and that was worse. So he told me one time, he said, son, you ain't just hurting yourself, you're hurting me and your mama. And he said, you need to think about what you do and where you go, people you see. And that really stuck down in there. And that's been, I'm be 57 years old and next week. And that's when I was like 15 or 16 years old. And it's still stuck in my mind. But if you have your Bibles, I'm going to try to do this. Isaiah chapter 38. The last time I got to do this was about, I don't know, 20-something years ago. And I didn't need glasses, and I had hair, and I was about 60 pounds lighter. So we'll just see how it goes. I've wrestled with myself about trying what to preach, or what to bring out, and it's just, I mean, me and him's wrestled all for the last couple of weeks, because he's asked me about 2 or 3 weeks ago, but The closer it gets, the worse it got for me. But in Isaiah chapter 38, reading, starting at verse 1, it said, in those days, King Hezekiah was sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord and said, Lord, and he says, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore, then came the words of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, go and tell Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayers, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thee days of 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city. And I want to just go to the Lord and pray. Said, Lord, I thank you for this time. I thank you for allowing me to come today. I ask you to be with each one of us in here and just let us understand what you have for us today. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm so emotional. There was a lot of things I thought about this message, and I've heard it preached probably 40 times and never seen this until this week. I always thought Hezekiah done something wrong. I always thought Hezekiah must have really done something before the Lord, and the Lord was just going to say, okay, it's over with for you. I'm going to cut you off. But Hezekiah wasn't that person. Hezekiah was a king that honored the Lord. He done the commandments. Whatever God asked him to do, he done it. He kept the commandments. Now, his father was an evil king, and he wouldn't do the commandments of the Lord. He wouldn't do the Passover, which that was really holy for the Jewish people. He wouldn't do a lot of things. He let idol worship come into the kingdom. And I mean, he was wicked. But when King Hezekiah, when Hezekiah became king, he broke down all them idol worshiping. He broke down all them things. And that's the reason when he said he turned his face towards the wall and prayed. And he said, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee." And I guess, I think a lot of us don't think about how we walk before the Lord. And that's kind of how I want this, I guess the title of the message, I should have probably said that first, this is when your heart is overwhelmed. Now, Hezekiah, I mean, the prophet's already come to him and told him, says, "You ain't going to live. I mean, the doctor, there ain't nobody here going to fix you. The Lord is not going to fix you. You know, you're going to pass away." But Hezekiah didn't want to pass away right then because he still had a battle he had to fight. He still wanted to see his city prosper. And it says that Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings in Israel because of the things that he did for Israel itself. And bringing back the worship, building the temples back and all these things. So that was the thing King Hezekiah was trying to bring out before the to the Lord on this. I don't have to put my glasses back on. I can't even see it. And I guess the first thing I want to try to bring out is that he turned his face towards the wall. And a lot of times when in life has never been easy for me, and it's probably ain't for you sometimes, but sometimes we just got to turn our face to God and just get a hold of the altar and just pray and just ask God. You're the only one that's going to do it, God. Only you are the only hope that I have. It ain't the money I got stuck in the bank, and ain't all the other things. I know when they come in there, my dad just had supposed to have gallbladder surgery. When he went in there, they felt cancer in his liver, and we lost him 4 months later. You know, our back was against the wall. His back was against the wall, and there wasn't nobody going to fix him. I mean, they wasn't no amount of money, how much money Daddy had in the bank. They wasn't how much he was influenced. He was a deacon in the church up on the mountain. I mean, he was a good moral person. He'd done everything. God was right in God's eyes. But God says it was time for you to set your house in order. And what he was trying to say, he says, I know in our lifetime, especially with my kids, I got four girls and one boy. And when you got girls, you got troubles. Amen. That's all I got to say. Girls just give me a rough row, I'm telling you. And especially when they turn about 12, 13 years old, you'll find out if you ain't got them there yet. You'll find out. And, you know, but there's a lot of times I've had to turn my face towards the wall and pray. Because, I mean, them little girls about run me up the wall. I mean, I couldn't go no further with them. And, you know, you're old. You walk school uphill both ways and you're in the snow barefoot and all that. I mean, I've heard that a thousand times. But, you know, the thing about it is the wisdom that God's gave me over the years is trying to help them and make them understand the first place you need to think about is what God wants you to do. Now, if Hezekiah could think about it, he had all the money you could want. He probably could went to the best physicians that money could buy, but none of that was going to help him. Only thing he had to do was go to God. That's the only place he could go. And, you know, and a lot of times that's the last place we'll go. And I'm going to give you an example of my life. I was a missionary for 5 years in the Rock of Ages prison ministry. Amen. And I'll wear these glasses because I can't see. Well, the reason is I promised to God, I said, God, when I get 38% of my income, I will quit my job, go full-time in the Rock of Ages prison ministry. And I mean, most of us all in here work. I've worked all my life ever since I was 13 years old. Potato fields, cutting flowers, whatever, mow grass, picked blackberries, done it all as a kid. And, you know, I was always knowing that was it. But now quitting my job with four little kids and saying, here I am, God, take me on. I couldn't even imagine doing that. But I made that promise. I made that vow. I said, God, when you get me to 33% of the percentage I need to get to, I'm going to quit. Well, guess what? I went to 34% and I was still there. So one Saturday after I got off work, I was mowing the grass and the chain or something, the sprocket messed up something, and I got a chisel and a hammer and I hit that chisel. When I did, a piece of that chisel went through my eye, almost into my brain. So they took me to the hospital, and they done tests. Daddy lived on Sand Mountain, drove all the way to Dalton, Georgia, went and picked me up, took me to Erlanger Hospital. And here I was in there waiting emergency surgery. We was waiting on the surgeon to get there. And I've never been in surgery before, didn't know anything about it. And God reminded me. He said, remember that 33%, and now you're 34? Now, I'm talking about maybe $1,100 is all I was at. With four kids, no insurance, but God's insurance. Humanly possible, I didn't know what to do. I mean, I'm thinking, well, that ain't going to be enough. God ain't going to take care of me. But God put me in a place I had to then. Because I was out of work for over a year. I laid on my back and couldn't do nothing. And if you ain't never had eye surgery or major surgery like on your eyes, I couldn't even pour a glass of milk without putting my finger in the glass to pour it in there to find out where the milk come to. That's how bad it was. I couldn't even go to the mailbox without my 3-year-old or 4-year-old daughter walk me to the mailbox and back because I couldn't see. You don't realize how much that... But God reminded me my promise that I made to him. And that's what kind of in a way Hezekiah saying, God, don't you remember? I've done all these things. I tore down them false idols. I tore down all them old temples. And I put in the new things. And how many times have we promised God? God, if you'll just let my son come back home, or if you'll let my daughter just do this, or God, if you just would do this for me, I'll do whatever you ask. And we let that little problem slip by, and then we don't never do it. But when God gets a hold of you, he will. But the thing about it is, after all that surgeries, I've had 7 surgeries on my eye now. I've had a cornea transplant. I've had a retina detachment. I've had needles stuck in my eye. A bunch of things. And they finally went to Atlanta at the Emory Hospital and had surgery, my last one, and I don't want no more. But I'm finally getting over my nervousness a little bit. But you know what I think Hezekiah and the Lord's trying to tell him? We got to trust him. And that's what Hezekiah wanted us to do. In this verse, he's telling us the first thing we got to do is turn our face towards the wall. Because there ain't nowhere else to go. And like when I quit my job, I didn't know what I was going to do. I laid at home. Well, I hate telling all these stories, but my wife had to have back surgery, and she was in a cast, body cast up to here, front and back. We was in our 20s. I think she was 23, and I was like 25. I mean, just kids, having kids, dumb. The thing about it was, you know, we never missed a paycheck, never missed a meal. I mean, churches would come by. I mean, I don't even know where they come from. Checks in the mail, these churches that I went and preached at, some of them was 5 years ago. I didn't even know who they were, had sent checks in, saying the Lord just laid on their heart to help you. The Lord laid on their heart to do this. I had people coming off their jobs, work for the power board. They'd come off their jobs, and I didn't even know some of these people. And they gave us money to pay all our bills. We was never hungry. Went to a church one time right after that, and we took pictures of it. Our cabinets had like 3 or 4 things in it. And we went to that church and they gave us 27 bags of groceries. I had enough groceries to take to somebody else. And that's what God did. He didn't just help me, but he helped him other people. And this guy worked for the Rochester Ages. And he went to the vice president. He says, I don't know how God knew that we didn't have no groceries. He says, I don't know how God knew that. Well, I didn't know he didn't need groceries. God just laid on my heart to give him the groceries. He was like I was. He's in the same boat. But the thing about it, God done miracles. And if he calls you into something, he'll supply every one of your needs. I mean, you'll think. And lots of times, I didn't never know when it was going to happen. It might be the last day. So when I got this verse on my heart a long time ago, I was laying in the hospital. And I said, God, you got to give me something. They was going to give me 3 hours, and they was going to take my eye out. Well, first thing, I wasn't going to be able to read no more. I wasn't going to probably drive real good. I don't do that good anyway. So y'all might want to leave before I leave because I just got one good eye. So I said, God, give me something. And God gave me this verse, and this right here, Hezekiah. And I said, God, he said, set your house in order. And I'm thinking, well, Lord, I go to the mission field. I mean, I've been in all these federal prisons and state prisons and done all these things. I've done everything I know to do. Why are you doing this? When it goes on down in here. But if you go on to verse 17, there's a verse, a little bit it says in there about, he says, I love thee. I love thy soul. I hasten in love to my soul to be delivered. And it was from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. When I read that, that nurse come in and said, son, you ain't supposed to be praying. You ain't supposed to be over there crying. I was squalling my eyes out. I said, lady, I don't care what you do anymore. God's just let me know everything's going to be okay now. I said, I don't care. So that doctor, my doctor was, you know how most of them, I ain't got no bedside manners. He took me back over and put me in front of that machine. He was saying, I can't believe it. And he looked at it again. I can't believe it. It was full of infection. And that was the reason they was going to have to take it out. He says, I can't believe it, but there's no infection at all in your eye. And God let me know right then he was going to take care of me no matter what. So, you know, as you get into this chapter, and that's what I think we need to try to remember. And it says, he said, and he turned his face towards the wall. And then he goes down to verse 3 and he says, remember how now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in the sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. I was supposed to have been, I already went past step 2 on that, but that's a rabbit chasing, I guess. But the thing, what God was showing right there, he was reminding himself, but he's also saying, Lord, now remember, I've done all these things. I have walked close to thee. I have done all these things. But what we need to remember in our heart, when the devil comes, and he will come, he's going to always try to keep you down. He's always being negative about something. And if ain't that, you got them Job friends. They'll come by when you're in your worstest time and worstest need. They'll be there, and they won't give you no encouragement. It's always discouragement. And you're already on the bottom of the ladder. You can't look up, and you got people like that you work with. So that's why he had to encourage his own heart and encourage himself, reminding himself that what God has already done in his life and what he has done for the Lord in his life, and it's because he had walked right before the Lord and done what was right before the Lord. And on down in there it says, and Hezekiah wept sorely. I know a lot of times alligator tears, my girls, when they would get in trouble, they'd have them alligator tears, they'd just be pouring down their face. And you know good and well, you didn't whip them that hard, or you didn't scold them that bad, or any of that thing, and then have them alligator tears. Well, God don't like alligator tears. I think what Kevin says a lot, he wants you to be real. And that's what God wants you to be. He wants you to take away all that shiny stuff you think we are, and that pride that we have in us, and just be real with God. Just be honest with him. If you're mad at him, he knows. Believe me, he does. He knows every emotion that we have. He knows when you're happy. He knows when your wife's fighting, even though none of us in here knows you are. He knows that. He knows when your bank account is so bad this week, you don't know how you're going to pay your house bill or your car note or anything. He knows all that thing. So just be honest with him. Say, God, I'm going to turn my face towards the wall and just pray and ask him. Say, God, I need you right now. I need you to fulfill this for me. I need your help. Because a lot of us is going to be there one of these days. A lot of us is going to be in a situation that, especially with this election we're having now, nobody knows what's going to happen. And I ain't saying it's the less of two evils. They both are evil. Ain't neither one of them really all that good. But the Lord says to pray for the leaders of our nation, even though they are bad. And, you know, I think Hillary said today something about salvation or something about her... She said something about God, she says, well, all you have to be is do good works and good things, and you'll be all right with your maker. Well, good works is not going to get you to heaven. I mean, you can come to church till the wheels fall off. You can help everybody in the neighborhood, But until you get it down, as my daddy used to say, below the collarbone, it ain't going to work. That's where it's at, right there. God wants it right there. And that's, and people know you're real. That's one thing I learned about prison. They preach hard in there. I mean, boy, them guys I worked with, they'd tear them up. I mean, tear them up. But they knew that you was real. I met James Earl Ray in Brushy Mountain. And he said, the one thing that I like about y'all guys is because you're real. You ain't fake. You ain't coming in here wanting an interview, or you ain't coming in here saying, you know, this about God or that about God. You're real, and we know that's the reason you're here, that you want to help us, and you're trying to show us God's word, and you're trying to do what's right. And them guys really appreciated that. And I'll go one or two more verses, and I'll quit. It says, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hands of the Caesareans, and I will defend the city. You know, we think about our homes, and if we see what's going on in our communities, or if we see what's going on in our countries, and we see what's going in, I mean, a lot of our churches even. I mean, I know Kevin said the other day, this is a hospital. And it's a place to get to help the wounded and all that. But it's also to help us, what was the other one he said? It was a hospital and a filling station. Because the filling station, when you go back out there tomorrow, that's one thing. When Brother Ron Phillip, Ron Garris, when I worked in the Rock of Ages, he said, James, he said, when you go into prison, you got to pray. And I'm thinking, why? Because when you come out of there, you're like a sponge. You wrung out because they have took everything you got out of you. So, I mean, I don't know, this is scattered bad. I know it is, but I'm sorry. It's something that I think that we all need to put in our heart is to remember God wants us, we want him to defend our homes and our families. Then we gotta be real with him. We gotta pray like we've never prayed before, because a lot of our liberties that we have now is not going to be here anymore, and for our children, our grandchildren. And you know, I just hope that we can understand that if we pray hard enough, and if we will pray hard enough, then God will heal our land. And I got one more verse, Joel chapter 2. Verse 25, and it says, I will restore unto you the years the locusts have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palm worm, by my great armies which I have sent among you. But he said he would restore the years the locusts have eaten away. It's been 20 years since I got to do this right here. 20 years. Because evil people has said things. Bat-batting people in a church will ruin anybody. And I'm a prime example. It took 20 years. Kevin don't know me. I didn't meet Kevin until I come up here. I never knowed the man. But I told Kevin some of my situation, and he come to me about a month later and asked me about preaching. I said, you sure about that? He said, the Lord laid that on my heart. So that's why this is my day, that the canker worm ain't going to eat me no more. It ain't it's the year. I told my wife, this is the greatest time in my life right now. It's like starting. It's like being born again. It's like being renewed again, because all the things that the devil has done to me, and he will, like he told Peter, Jesus told Peter, he said, the devil is that wanting to sift you as wheat. He put me in that grinder, and he ground everything that was in me out. And I didn't have nothing else. All I had was God. I didn't have nobody else. And that's what we have to understand. God will restore them years. And it's been 20 years that God, the devil, has denied me the privilege of getting to do this and the honor to get to do this. And I just want you to know, if you think things have happened bad in your past or anything that is hindering you from doing what God wants you to do, don't. Because God said he would restore them years. And he's done that for me. And I thank him for it. Because I just couldn't. The devil, all I could hear him say, you ain't good enough. Remember when you done that? Remember when you done this? And then, you know, they'd bring up all these past things that I've done in my past. And I could never get victory over that. And I could never get my head up above water. But when Kevin come and asked me, that was just like somebody plugging me into 220. I mean, it made me feel good all inside. I felt like a new person. I mean, because it just done something to me that not human can do, but what? But where we at in life with that? There's people that we work with that might feel just like I did, but nobody cared. Nobody would come by and say, hey, I love you. I care about you. I want you to, you know, do what God wants you to do. And I guess I'm going to quit on that. I'm telling you, you just don't know how much it's. I wish I could really show how much this really means. I know I've been stuttery and squally and everything else. But inside my soul, I am so happy. Amen. So happy. Because this is something nobody can take away from me. Amen. When I get in my car, I can go home and I can rejoice all the way down there. I might not shout in here, but me and him will talk all the way home. That's about all. You want to do a song, or what are you going to do? Well, let's just pray, and then you can worry about it. Lord, I just thank you for this time again. God, I just thank you for allowing me to be up here. God, I wish that people could feel my heart and understand how much it feels to be in your presence. To feel the comfort and the peace that only you can give us. God, please help each one of us in here as we go home and as we go to work and as we see our kids, that we'd hug them and love them. And God, we just want to thank you for this church, and we ask you to bless Brother Kevin as he's gone and be with him and touch him. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.